requirements on online safety updates, but so here's where we're at. We'll finish this chapter tonight, and then we'll meet next week, it's a block party week, and we're busy, we'll work all week, and things like that, we'll be back for that block party, and then should be very consistent, for Thanksgiving, Christmas, on Wednesday night. So what's happened last week, if you were here, is that Isaac, and, Jacob calls Isaac in to give him his blessing, and then, Rebecca hears it and says, "Hey, Jacob, you know, you're my favorite, let's trick your father." So he goes and cooks up this fake game to get something on the block, and they trick Isaac, and Isaac blesses him. We talked about it a little bit last week, or a little bit this week, about the power of the word, the spoken word in that culture that they lived in. So here's what he says, starting in 27, I'm sorry guys, 27. So he went and kissed him. When Isaac felt the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine." And he does. God blesses Jacob. He makes him very prosperous. "May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you." We'll see that come through not only with Joseph, which is, all his offspring. We'll see even eventually, from Jacob comes Judah. Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. And may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. And we see this all through Jacob's life, and then we see it in Joseph's life as well, and again in the life of Judah. After Isaac had finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. And you can just kind of see this picture like a movie. You see how somebody splits it up and over and comes in harder than they ever see each other. And that's kind of the picture we got here. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, stood up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." So Esau made sure to put that part in there. Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." Again, we talked about this a little bit last week. It's I don't know, I don't maybe have a palate for it, but Isaac wanted this wild game. He got something out of the flock there, and he could tell the difference. And even again, he mentions it here. Somebody's already hunted game and brought it to me. He shakes at this because he realizes he's been deceived by Jacob, the deceiver. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." Now, if we back up, and we're not going to talk about this, I did that last week. He said, "I've already blessed him, and he indeed will be the one that's blessed." This, to me, has always been... It's just hard to figure out. It's not that, again, that they control God's sovereignty, they control God's blessings. God had already said, Jacob's going to be the one that Esau's going to bow down to. Jacob, the younger, will serve, or the older will serve the younger. So it's God's sovereignty, it's God's blessing that actually blesses Jacob. But it was something about this culture, this Israelite culture, this Jewish culture. I know that we don't have the nation of Israel yet, but this Jewish culture that believed in the power of the spoken word. And he said, "Well, once I've said it, I can't take it back. So he's going to be the one blessed. There's nothing you can do about it." And it would, be like us prophesying something on one of our children today and saying, "You're going to be the one that does this. I can't take it back." And so we have a hard time grasping that today, but this was the custom of that culture that they lived in, and they really believed it. And Esau believed it. Esau believed, "Well, he's already said something, so now he's got nothing for me." Whereas they really missed the point here, and I understand it's not just him, is that God's the one that does the blessing in all of this. He says, bless me too, my father. And he's crying this loud, bitter voice and says, but he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. So now here's Isaac. And your brother did this. And he said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? Remember, go all the way back. They get this from their grandfather, Abraham. Abraham starts this process of deceiving. He lies about his wife, and Isaac lies about his wife. And then we see Esau and Jacob get mixed up in it. And we see Jacob's sons, other than Joseph, are deceiving as well. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, now he's taking my blessing. Now, what's wrong with this statement is actually he didn't deceive him with his birthright. Esau come in, if you remember, and Jacob was really forthright in that. And he said, give me some of that stew. He goes, give me your birthright. And he goes, what does the birthright mean? He says, no, I won't die if I don't eat. So Esau is this live for the moment guy. I mean, most of you have probably went 24 hours without eating. There was a time where I probably thought like that too. And we don't know how old Esau was at that time exactly. We can trace it back, but even when I was 18, 19, I might have thought like that. Man, if I don't eat for 12 hours, I'm just going to roll over here and die. I mean, we all know better than that. But Esau actually thought for the moment, he thought just for that I'd rather have this stew than I had this birthright. So, but again, to us today, it would be like saying, hey, you know, here's my birth certificate. It doesn't change who you are, but again, it's a different culture they lived in. And he said, he's deceived me these two times. He took my birthright. Now he's taking my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved me any blessing for me? Now, let's understand Esau again a little bit more. Esau is not wanting, and this goes fast forward to the New Testament, where Jesus talks about praying in the name of Jesus, where Paul talks about praying for the right things. And how many of us are even good with that, where, let's say, the name of God, give us safety? How many times do we ask, God, your will be done on this trip, whatever it is? If it means you have to take us, for people to come to Jesus, that's what we want. We don't pray that, but God just protect us. And we do the same thing with our children. When we pray, we say, God, give me a good day, or God, help me to do this. Instead of saying, God, your will be done in my life, no matter what happens. Esau didn't want the blessing in the sense that, whereas you talk about Elisha asked for a double portion of the Spirit. That's not what Esau's saying. He's not saying, I want to be blessed so that I can bless other people. Esau's just wanting prosperity. And you say, well, how do you know that? It's evident in the life that he lives all the time. So it's not that he's wanting, hey, you know, whereas if we all pray tonight, God, use me, God, bless me, so that, not financially so I can get blessed, but just bless me so that I can share the gospel, give me strength to share the gospel, give me peace in adversity, give me this so I can make your name known. That would be the blessing we should pray, but he's saying, hey, give me money pretty much. Don't you have any blessing left for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him Lord over you, and have made all his made all his relatives his servants. I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Again, we read this in the context today. If somebody told me that or told you that, so look, I've already told your brothers to be Lord over you. He's going to get food and grain. Well, we would just move. We'd be like, man, I'll go start my own company. I'll go get my own cattle. I'll go do this. But that's not the way things happen here. Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Now, we don't have time to get into all this tonight, but we can start tracing Esau's lineage and the Edomite and all that, and eventually we see that this is where the line of parents come from, the Edomite. And then we see they're at odds with the Jewish people, and of course even the Jews are not followers of Jesus, obviously, but we see that this prophecy comes true when you grow restless. You will throw his yoke from off your neck, and there's going to be turmoil, there's going to be fighting among you. So, in the immediacy of this, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the father his blessing had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau said, she sent here, she's taking control again. She sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is controlling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban and Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides." Now, Rebekah didn't think it would be 20 years, but it was. "When your brother is no longer angry with you," we don't know if he stayed angry 20 years, he just ended up staying, but there was probably a sense that Rebekah didn't know what Rebekah would have sent for him. "When he's no longer angry, you forget what you did to him. I'll send word for you to come back from there." Now, she could have sent word, and he could have just been in this 7-year contract, you know, with Laban or whatever. We don't know for sure. "Why should I lose both of you in this one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted." This is where she goes to Isaac, and we're asking him that next week. So she takes over the plan. And she goes and tells Isaac, "Hey, I don't want him living and marrying these Hittite women." So she starts to plan to send him away. So real quickly, we'll look at Esau for just a second, just a couple of minutes, and then we'll go. And Esau's whole thing in this, if we trace it back, and we start back with his birthright or his bowl of food, we see that Esau starts this, at least for us to see before he starts, this living for the moment. Then he gets caught up and now he's wanting a blessing, but he's not wanting the blessing again, as I just talked about. He's not wanting the blessing for blessing's sake. He's wanting the blessing so that he can have more, so that he can be prosperous, so that he can have more than Jacob. And so then when he doesn't get it, he gets upset and he gets bitter and he holds a grudge against his brother. And in fact, it goes so far, as Stephen said, he will kill him. But you notice in this that Esau takes very, well, he really doesn't take any responsibility for any of his actions in any of this. I was talking to Greg King last night, we were talking about this on his sermon. And a lot of times we want to say, "God, you know, I ask forgiveness, and you forgive me." But he said, that doesn't mean we don't have consequences. When you think of it like this, this is a very simple one. I can gorge myself for a week or two, like on vacation, and ask God to forgive me. And God can forgive me of that gluttony and will forgive me. But that doesn't mean God's going to take us 8 or 9 pounds away just like that. He's going to go, "You don't wait for forgiveness. When you go to sleep tonight, I'll just lie on those 9 pounds out." There's consequences to my action. There's consequences. And that's a very trivial one, I understand. But there are consequences to what we do. Esau has been living for the moment. Esau hasn't been living with eternity in mind. Esau has been living for the bowl of soup. He's wanting to live right now. He's not thinking about spiritual blessings. So what could Esau have done in this situation? Jacob was at fault. Jacob was at fault. Which we'll get more to Jacob later because he's still in here. We'll see he pays for his sins later too. Jacob is at fault as well. But Esau, what he could have done is said, "You know what? He did treat me, you know, and he's wrong. But two wrongs don't make a right. And so, my father, don't you still have a blessing for me? And if you don't, you know," he could have turned this over to his heavenly father. But then he goes a step further, and not only does he hold a grudge, he holds it so much that he lets hatred build in his heart. And so we don't see it. We don't know for sure. When they have the reunion, Esau forgives him. But according to this, she says, "I'll send for you." And we know it was 20 years that for 20 years that Esau harbored this grudge against his brother Jacob. And And you know, we've all heard this a million times, but I tell you, the person that has an anger in their heart, that has hatred for someone, does a lot more damage to themselves than they do actually the person that they hate. And as children of God, we can't harbor this ill will toward other people. And so whatever somebody may have done to us, and we have to turn this over to God, which is exactly, and we're in one end, exactly what Esau's not done anything. He hasn't turned to God with the word of right. He didn't say, God said, I give my brother Jacob this bow, you know, this bow is too stuck, ready for murder, because God has said no. He didn't turn this over to God when Jacob wronged him of his blessing. He didn't turn it over even after all that was over. He waited, and then this anger, this ill will builds up in him, and we see it divides the family. And it all goes back to even again, you can include his wives in there, where it says he married his wives against God's will, against his parents' will, and caused problems. So we see Esau. Now, here's the million-dollar question. I don't know if I want to answer. People have asked, was Esau a believer? I don't know. I was talking to Dad about this other day. I don't want to get into judging who's a believer and who's not. I was listening to Tom Rainer the other day. Tom Rainer said that Billy Graham was never said the quote, 80% of the church is going to hell. Billy Graham never said that. He never said 85%, 70%. You can't find it. And so I was talking to Dad about that. He said a lot of people use that. I may be incorrect in using the word. And he said, Billy Graham never. And here's what I say. There should be some question to people personally. You say, what about these people that come on Easter, come on Christmas, come once a month? And you know, they never get involved, they never go to the Bible study, they never heal, they never do ministry. How do they claim to be a Christian when the Bible specifically says it will change us? You say, how do they claim? I don't know, but I don't want to get into one saying, it's tough, I understand, because if you are a child of God, there should be some conviction. There should be some drawing of the Holy Spirit. There should be some that, hey, I want to be faithful. I want to give. I want to do this. I also understand that children can get away. They can be disobedient. They can be living in rebellion. So I've been asked that question before, and I don't have an answer for it. I don't know if he's called what the believer. The same thing with Lot. People say, you know, but Lot's mentioned in the New Testament as Peter mentions him as a believer, but he was just a wayward, he was a worldly Christian. So Esau could have very much been a worldly Christian, a worldly believer, but we don't see a lot of evidence in Esau's life that he was a believer, which brings us then back to the start of the spirit part, is that believers should have evidence in their life. People should look at us and go, they live for Jesus Christ. I'll pray. Father, we do love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can learn from it. Our desire is not to be like Esau or Jacob. Our desire is not to be like Isaac or Rebecca. And our desire is not to even be like Abraham, but it's to be like you, Lord Jesus. We want to be more like you. Draw us more close to you. Help us to the Holy Spirit, you to walk with us, you to guide us, you to direct us in everything we do. And help us to study your word with the intent of knowing you more, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right.